This is Dusty Rhodes reporting for the Education Desk. About 8 years ago, Rebecca Ginsburg established the Education Justice Project, a program that provides prisoners at the Danville Correctional Center with upper-level college courses, workshops, and other educational services. Ginsburg is a professor of education policy at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. And today, she's making her second visit to the White House to participate in a roundtable discussion on criminal justice reform. I talked to her earlier this week, and we began with the profile of a typical EJP student.
As a rule, we tend to attract individuals who are serving longer sentences for more serious crimes. And that's because most people, when they're incarcerated in the United States, don't have a GED or a high school diploma. And it takes some time before they can acquire that, before they can go on to college. And with EJP in particular, because we only take transfer students, we tend to attract people near the end of pretty long sentences.
Ginsburg calls them transfers because virtually all EJP students earn their first 60 hours of college credit through the prison's partnership with Danville Area Community College. EJP offers only a handful of credit courses per semester, with a limit of 15 students per class.
Most of our students were incarcerated as teenagers, and by the time we see them in the program, they're in their 30s or 40s. We have some students who are even older, and these are students who in many ways have aged out of the sort of activities that they were involved with. They've also done a lot of hard work on themselves and have really used the time of their incarceration to reflect deeply, take a lot of courses and programs, and by the time we see them, they're really like sponges ready to soak up what higher education has to offer in their personal growth and development as leaders, frankly. They typically serve a lot of leadership roles within the prisons, and we very much encourage them upon their release to continue to do that.
More than once, EJP students have surprised their teachers with their creative initiative. One group of EJP students decided to produce a juried prison-wide art show. They handled the publicity and produced the accompanying catalog. Prisoners studying Shakespeare decided to mount a full-length Shakespearean production for an audience of university scholars. But the most enduring example of EJP student leadership is a program called Language Partners, created by an inmate during the first year EJP offered classes in the prison.
It was a business writing course, and the final project was for students to propose some sort of business activity. And we expected them to suggest all sorts of for-profit business enterprises. And we're blown away when one of the students, Ramon Cabrales, presented a proposal to start an ESL program in the prison.
You know ESL, English as a Second Language.
He said that there were several hundred men, at least 300 or 400 men in the prison who did not speak any English and who were particularly vulnerable because they couldn't understand the orders of correctional officers. They couldn't describe their symptoms when they went to the dentist or to visit the nurses. And he proposed that the EJP students, who were bilingual, in both English and Spanish, would make ideal peer tutors. So we went to the campus and found ESL instructors who would be willing to provide training as ESL instructors to the incarcerated EJP students. And the program started in 2010, I want to say. It's just a remarkable thing to see the students serving as peer instructors within the prison. And four of the men who have been peer instructors within the Language Partners program through EJP have been able, upon release, to get employment as adult educators on the outside. And these are men who didn't even have a GED when they were incarcerated, and now they're teachers.
So the instructors are volunteers from the U of I?
Yeah, we don't call them volunteers because it's just part of their work. And they teach at a land-grant institution, and part of what they feel really committed to doing is teaching students wherever they find them. They're volunteer in the sense that we don't pay them. And they're either faculty members at the U of I and PhD students who have all but finished their dissertation, and community members who are eligible to teach at the U of I.
If you're just joining us, this is Illinois Edition, and I'm Dusty Rhodes. I'm talking to Rebecca Ginsburg, director of the Education Justice Project, which provides upper-level college courses to prisoners at Danville Correctional Center. I asked Ginsburg who pays for this service.
So we get funding from three sources, the University of Illinois, grants, and private donations. For the last 3 years, we've gotten a generous donation from the vice chancellors at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign campus, but that funding will be running out after fiscal year 17, so next summer.
How do you justify to people all this time and energy and money being spent on criminals?
You know, 95% of the people who are in prison are going to come out one day. They're going to be our neighbors. We want them to get the best job that they can, because when they're working at their best capacity, all of our communities are stronger. In addition, we know from a lot of research that the attainment of higher education has ripple effects, so that the children of incarcerated men and women are more likely themselves to pursue higher education when their parents receive college education. Just as incarceration is generational, higher education is generational. And what we really seek to do is break the cycle of incarceration and replace it with a cycle of college attendance, college graduation. And that's one reason that the EJP, in addition to working within the prisons, also has many programs on the outside to motivate and incentivize family members to think of themselves as college-bound. We wanted to think about it just in terms of dollars and cents. It would be a really easy call. It costs much more to incarcerate somebody than it does to educate them. But it's not even accurate to think about it in dollars and cents, because behind every crime is a victim. And the cost to the victim of having been a victim of a crime, and the cost to society of supporting someone who's a victim of a crime, cannot be measured. You know, it shifts the horizon. Higher education for all students should broaden and shift the horizon. And there's no group of students, I think, whose horizons we want shifted more and who more urgently need to be shifted than those students who are coming from disenfranchised, marginalized, oppressed communities who are otherwise likely become caught up in criminal activity and become victims of criminal activity.
So far, 65 EJP students have finished their sentences and been released from prison. Most return home to Chicago. For the men and their families, Ginsburg long ago established a robust support network in Chicago. Okay, so out of those 65, how many have gone back to prison?
Our recidivism rate is about 6%, and the Illinois state rate is about 47%.
Ginsburg thinks this kind of program could be useful in other prisons. From its inception, the staff of EJP has collected data and published research in an effort to prove this strategy pays off.
And I know we work only at Danville Correctional Center, but our aim is to create a model program. So I travel around to other states to provide technical guidance to people who are thinking about starting programs in their state. Sometimes they travel to Illinois to see our program in action. I think that's really important. It's one of the roles of a research institution to produce a kind of scholarship and the kind of models that can be replicated elsewhere.
All right. So full disclosure, I met you, you were about 4 years into it. Is that right?
I think so.
2011, probably.
Yeah, 11, yeah. Did I have any hair when you met me?
No.
Okay, so I'd been already diagnosed with cancer. So that was 2011 then.
Okay.
I used to actually have long hair.
How are you doing, by the way?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I'm doing great.
I'll just not worry about that until you tell me that I should worry.
Oh, no, don't worry at all. I'm fine. I'm great.
Reporting for the Education Desk, I'm Dusty Rhodes.